Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be talking about prayer. And, you know, prayer is the most powerful thing that any Christian can do, is pray. I mean, that's where the power is. That's where we go to the throne. That is where we sit with God. That is where we approach Him, and He delights in us to be there when we're seeking His face and we're praying. And you know, so many of us throw that aside. The most powerful tool we have, the biggest tool we have, the most effective tool we have, and we cast it aside. We don't even use it. We just leave it there. It's kind of like this week, I went to work, and I went out the door, and when I went out the door, I got to work, and realized I had forgotten my wallet and all of my money and my toothpicks. Lord, that's a sin right there in itself, to forget your toothpicks. And I forgot everything. And so all day I'm going like, wow, you know, I was in a hurry. And I left the important stuff that I needed at home, because if I'd have got stopped, I would have got a ticket. That wouldn't have been pretty. And so the same thing is with prayer. When we forget it, we forego it, we leave it, man, we have just left without the necessities that we need that day. And, you know, sometimes we give up the best, which is prayer, for the okay. My wife packs my lunch because she loves me. And she does a great job packing my lunch. And I had a bowl or a dish of peaches. You know, you got to peel the top back. Well, listen, I don't care if it's yogurt, peaches, it doesn't matter what it is. Man, you peel the top back, what's the first thing you got to do to the top? Lick the... I am normal. And so the first thing you got to do is lick the lid, right? Well, listen, because of where I'm at, I didn't want to peel the whole thing off. You want to leave it attached so it's just easier to throw away. You don't have to deal with two pieces, right? Am I still normal? Yeah, okay. No, see, I'm normal. You guys aren't. And so what happens is, here's what I did. I pull it back, and you know, the lid curves up, right? Well, what's the first thing you do? Lick the lid. So I licked the lid. Well, when I licked the lid, I wasn't paying attention, and I poured the best in my lap to get the okay. You know what I'm saying? And it was like right there. You know? And so I'm sitting there and nobody notices. But what I did is, I got up, and so of course, as soon as you stand up, everybody goes, "What happened?" "I don't know what you're talking about." And I walked away, went straight out to the shop and got the air compressor gun and dried my pants off just as quick as I could. And by the way, that is really fast when you got 120-pound PSI. It dries it just like that. It's kind of like hurricane winds. And so at any rate, what happened was I went for the okay and gave up the best. And guys, when it comes to prayer, that's what we do. We go for the okay, and we, you know, okay, God's with me, I love God, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves everybody, I'm good, okay, going to work. And we don't spend time with God, we don't pray, and we just gave up our protection. We just gave up the absolute, I mean, we're still protected, but we gave up God's hand on us to go do what we want to do the way we want to do it. And God says, listen, if you just stop for a minute and seek my face. And so today I was planning on preaching 2 through 6. And I'm just letting you know right now, we're not going to get out of verse 2. It just isn't going to happen. The end of Colossians is coming. We are nearing the end. But today we're going to cover one verse. And it's a fantastic verse. Somebody has asked me in the past, several times actually, how can you preach on one verse? How can you just preach on one verse when it is this packed and this powerful? You can preach on one verse. And so this morning we are talking about prayer and specific three elements of prayer. The first one is devote yourself. Let's look here in Colossians 4:2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And so, if you're not careful, you just kind of breeze over this passage. But I'm just going to tell you that this passage is powerful. I mean, it is so powerful. There's so much meat in here. As I was doing this sermon, and I had it all laid out. And at 1 o'clock this morning, I went downstairs and totally redid the message this morning, for this morning. Because I was preaching 2 through 6. My agenda was, let's finish Colossians and move on. And God says, your agenda is more than I want you to do. I want you to back up. Because what you're doing, John, is you're going to breeze over the most important part of the book. Prayer. Paul talks about the new creature. You know, he talks about the character of the new man, and he starts there in verse or chapter 3. And so as we're talking about the new man, then he rolls into 4. Chapter 4 is a continuation of chapter 3 in the new man. And he's telling the new man, listen, I want you to continue earnestly in prayer. And I was going to pass this up. I wasn't going to like miss it. I was just going to throw it out there because, you know, 6 verses. And you know me, I have 45 minutes to preach 6 verses. It usually never happens. And so God said, I'm going to slow you down and you're going to redo the sermon. So at 1 o'clock this morning, I'm downstairs in the basement. And I don't type real well. I'm a pecker. You know what I'm saying? I'm 2 fingers and I just look and find. And man, I could tell God's hand was with me because, man, I was finding them good. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about. Some days things just flow. Man, that keyboard was flowing at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not only that, but I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm being obedient, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. But Lord, I want to go to bed, and I want to get some sleep. And if I don't hear you ever get this done, I'm not going to get a whole lot of sleep. And God says, I got you covered. I can give you more rest in 5 hours than what you can on your own in 20 hours. I said, thank you, Jesus, because I'm going to need it. And so I get this sermon done, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I go to bed. But I'm feeling better about God's sermon than I was the whole week that I spent on my sermon. You know what I'm saying? Because He's in control. And so God told me to tell you to focus on prayer. And so since we're going to focus on prayer, guys, you have to get this. You have to get this. If you feel powerless in your Christian walk, I bet you're not praying. If you feel like you're struggling in your Christian walk, I bet you're not praying. If you feel like you're getting beat up every day, I bet you're not praying. And if you are, it's... And by the way, this does not constitute legitimate prayer. I just want you to know. Dear Lord, bless this food. Amen. You didn't pray. You just said thank you. You get what I'm saying? Prayer is taking time and being diligent to spend time with God. Prayer is getting on your knees and humbling yourself and forgetting the rest of the world exists and crying out, Abba, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Father, I need your help. Father, take my hand. Father, guide me. Father, strengthen me. Father, lead me. Father, give to me what I need. That's prayer. And then, to extend beyond that, Father, I have a brother or sister or friend that has cancer. Father, I have a hurting friend who's struggling. Bless them. Father, I have a co-worker who's about to lose their job. God, open the door for them. Use me to touch them. Use me to help them. Use me to guide them. Father, I'm without words. Father, I'm just going to sit here in your presence. And I'm going to wait on you to touch me. And I'm going to wait on you to guide me. I'm going to wait on you to comfort me. I'm going to be silent, Father, and know that you are God. Father, I just need strengthened by you today. Because we're weary. I don't know about you, but guys, I get weary. I get weary and trying to reach the lost. I get weary in trying to goad the Christian to do what God's called you to do. I get weary in doing it myself. Sometimes we just get weary and we just need to sit there and go, Father, I need you today. Touch me. Hug me. Let me hear you say, I love you, Father. I need it. And there's not one of us in this room that doesn't need that and need that time with God. Not one of us. Not one of us in this room can afford to leave prayer behind. Not one of us in this room can spare any more time without God. Not one of us. And yet, every day, some of us get up and don't even mention the name of Jesus. You don't even thank Him that your feet hit the floor and that you were able to get up. You don't even thank Him that you were able to take that breath of air and start your day. You don't even thank Him for your children, for your spouse. You don't thank Him for your job. You don't thank Him for your home. You don't thank Him for the meal that you ate that day. We just leave Him out. Listen, every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says. And we get so pious or haughty or whatever it is, prideful or arrogant, that we think we did this on our own. Let me tell you something. You have the health you have because God's given it to you. What you've done with it in the sense God's given you the body is very well up to you. The decisions you've made, have you made them on your own or have you asked God for the guidance and the wisdom and the strength? If you haven't asked God, don't complain about what you have. Because man's wisdom is foolishness unto God. We need God's wisdom. James says, ask for it. How do we ask? We go to Him in prayer. He says He'll give it to us liberally. Guys, we have far too long fought the fight in our own energy. And it's time that we surrender ourselves to God. It's time that we stop doing it. Because, listen, we have to sleep. God doesn't. And by the way, God can do in 2 seconds what it'll take you 20 years to accomplish. We need God. Three elements of prayer. Number one. Devote yourself. Devote yourself. That is, continue earnestly in prayer. That continue means don't stop. Earnestly, continue earnestly, literally means to be courageously persistent, to hold fast, and not let go. That continue. To be courageously persistent. Because how many of you have prayed, man, you, excuse me, you prayed for a solid month for something to happen, it didn't happen, you got frustrated and said, God, I'm done with that. Anybody? Is that continuing earnestly? No. No. Do you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you what. What about Jacob? When Jacob wrestled with God. Man, I'm telling you what. And Jacob said, God, I'm not going to let go, and I'm not going to stop fighting, and I'm not going to stop wrestling until you bless me, God. Isn't that what he said? Man, I believe he was courageously persistent. He was, listen, he was dogmatic about it. He says, I am not stopping, God, until you bless me. And then God shows him his power, because he had been playing with him, if you will, through the wrestling match, you know, like the teacher and the student. And so God says, all right, now I'm going to show you I'm God. And he reaches out and he just touches the hip of Jacob and dislocates it. And Jacob walked for the rest of his life with a limp. But I'm telling you what that limp did. That limp reminded him of the power of God. That limp reminded him that God blessed him indeed. That limp reminded him that he wrestled with God and he was diligent with God and he was courageously persistent with God. And God says, I'm going to bless you indeed because you desire it. And you're not going to quit seeking my face until I give it to you. Man, he was courageously persistent. The Bible says we are to pray at all times, Ephesians 6:18. We are to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We are to be devoted to prayer, Romans 12:12. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And be devoted to prayer, Romans 12:12. Guys, we quit way too soon. See, our society has programmed us that we deserve it, and we deserve it now, and it's now. And so, we don't buy meals that we throw in the oven. Praise God, my wife still does. We buy things that are microwavable. Peel the top back just a little bit, pop it in, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, nothing, 30 seconds, it's warm. I don't need it cooked, it's good, let's go. We don't even wait anymore. We can't even wait 5 minutes. If we have quiet time and there's nothing to do, we don't know what to do. Man, if the TV's off, the radio's off, the phone's not ringing, we're not talking to anybody, and there's not some clatter in the background, we think, what's going on? Now what do I do with myself? I don't know what to do. And some of us just walk around like this. What's happened? The world's coming to an end. It's all quiet. Where did everybody go? What am I supposed to do? We don't know what to do with ourselves. We're so stimulated with everything constantly. We're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, nobody's talking in the minivan. A glorious moment. And my daughter says, oh, this is an awkward moment. Somebody talk. Get a book. And see, I limit my children to their electronics. It's summertime. 3 hours a day. That's checking your email, listening to your iPod, watching a movie. I mean, that's every electronic. 3 hours. That's it. 3 hours. That's a lot, guys. But I'm willing to give it to them. But nothing's allowed to come on until 11 o'clock. So you got to spend the first 30 minutes reading the Bible. Get a book. Do something. We have to eliminate this stimuli, guys, that's running our lives. Get comfortable with being quiet, because then you can get comfortable with God. Because sometimes God's just quiet. Because He's waiting to see if you're going to wrestle Him like Jacob did. He's waiting to see if you're going to be persistent. He's waiting to see how much you want it. Because He's not going to give it to you just like that. Not all the time. Sometimes He knows that the minute He gives it to you, you'll quit spending time with Him. So He'll hold out on giving it to you. Just because He wants to spend time with you. He wants you, and He knows that, listen, the minute I give it to her, or to him, they're gone. And I won't see him again until there's another need. So I'm just going to hold out. Sometimes God wants us to wrestle with Him, guys. And when we do that, that means we have to be devoted. You have to devote yourself. Acts 6:4 says that if we're to follow the apostles, and they gave us an example to follow, Acts 6:4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We need to have the attitude that the apostles had. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the word, to the ministry of the word. We're going to continue to do that. Guys, we have to stay in there. You're going to be defeated and beat up if you don't. Prayer is not just vocalizing to God, but it actually refers to a God consciousness where everything you do, you ask the question or you relate it to the Word of God or you relate it to God and you say, okay, God, is this going to be pleasing to you, God? It's a God consciousness. We still have to get in our closet. We still have to be prayerful. We still have to seek God's strength. But prayer is also being aware and conscious of God and what He wants throughout the entire day. When we fail to do that, guys, we lose blessings. Jesus told two parables. Man, I might have to split this message up into three. Jesus didn't tell the parable of that. I'm saying that. Jesus, I'm kidding. I'm going to try my best to get through this, guys. Jesus told two parables illustrating the importance of persistent prayer. Luke 18:1-5. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Man, I'm gonna give this woman what she wants, because if I don't, she's gonna wear me out. Jesus is giving this parable and he says, listen, I want you to continue in prayer. I want you to wear me out. That's what I want you to do. I want you to be persistent. I want you to come after me like this woman went after the judge. Don't stop. But we give up. Oh, I pray and it just hits the ceiling, and so I didn't do it. Oh, yeah. How many times did you try it? Once is all it took for me. I learn. I'm a fast learner. You just pray once, God don't hear, it's done. God says, no, no. Be diligent. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. That's what he says in Luke 18:1. And then in Luke 11:5-13, he gives another parable. And he says to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now here's, let me give you a little bit of Jewish culture here so you understand this verse. He says, look, my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give you what you're asking for. Because generally at this time, they lived in a one-room house. One room. So it might be, 15 by 15 or whatever. And there was one bed, which the parents would get the bed, and the children would lay on the floor. And generally, they had a lot of kids, because there was no birth control back then. It was a pleasure to have kids, and women sought to have children for their husband, because to them, that was an honorable thing, and it was a good thing. And so what would happen is all the kids, everybody would be on the floor, sleeping on the floor, and they would be, the adults were usually in the bed, and so for him to get up, all the lights were out, they didn't have electricity, and so for him to get out of the bed, he'd have to get out of the bed and try to figure out how to get past the children without stepping on them or waking them. Some of you going, I experienced that already. Without stepping on them, without waking them up. And so when he says, listen, I'm already in bed, my kids are in bed, it's too late, I can't get up. That's why he's telling him they can't get up. Because it would be a struggle to walk past or get through them children and not step on them, as dark as it is, when they had no light, no street lamps and all that. And so he goes, let's go on now. He says, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Persistence. Many of you know that because your children wear you out, parents. They are persistent and you collapse and you give and you cave just to get them to be quiet. I don't. I want to continue to hear my children. I think that's the only time I'm going to spend with them, so I let them be persistent. Some of you didn't think it was humorous because you're guilty. So in verse 9 he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. He says, listen, if you just ask, you're going to receive, but don't fool yourself now. Don't go to God and say, God, you said that if I asked it, I would get it. And so, God, I need a new car. God, I need a new dress. I need new high heel shoes. I need new makeup. I need new earrings. Because it's usually the late. No, I'm just kidding. That was not. Some of you are going, I didn't appreciate it. And I think it needs to stop. But he says, listen, if you ask according to my will, if you're seeking after what you want because it's the same thing that I want, then I'm going to give it to you. Guys, don't think you can ask for something that's against God's will and receive it, because it's not going to happen. And if it's not the right timing, God knows what's best for you. And so He may not give it to you because you can't handle it yet. He may not give it to you because what you're asking for may take you away from Him. And you just don't understand it. And so when He says that you, I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you, understand only if it lines up according to His will and what's best for us. That's what He gives to us. Okay? So don't go and go, oh, well, God, you said and you promised and you're a liar. So there. Because you didn't get your own way or what you wanted. Number two, this is never going to happen. Number two, stay alert. Stay alert, being vigilant. In its most basic sense, it means not to fall asleep during prayer. Oh, how many people did I just step on? Not to fall asleep during prayer. Oh, because here's what we do. Okay, God, I'm going to do it at night when I'm laying down after I got my good hot shower and I curl up in bed and I'm just going to pray to you, God. And it's so glorious because I'm just going to kind of drift off with you. That's not prayer. Or is it, okay, God, it's really quiet at night, so I'm going to pray at night when everybody else goes to bed and I go to bed because then it's really quiet. No, because you're really tired. It doesn't work. You got to pick a time where you are awake. Listen, you can't. How many people have had a serious conversation with somebody that's sleeping? There's my point. Yeah. Some of you going, oh, you don't even know, Pastor. I used to talk in my sleep years ago. After I got saved, I quit talking in my sleep. But when I would talk in my sleep, then there'd be questions. Hey, did you do such and such? And the coolest thing, even in my sleep, I was quiet. I never gave anything up. Okay, Matthew 26. That's so bad. Number two, stay alert, being vigilant. Matthew 26, 36 through 41. This is when Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So He's giving them explicit orders. Verse 37, and He took with Him Peter and His two sons, and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to sorrowfully and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Specific. Very, very specific. Stay here and watch with me. He had already told them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He had already told them, listen, death is coming. I mean, He told them, listen, this is what's going on. I've told you about what's going to happen. This is the time it's going to happen. And I need you to sit here and watch and pray with me. Verse 39, He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I don't believe He went, yo, Peter, dude, you couldn't stay awake for an hour? Come on, man. No. Look at the punctuation that's going on here. It's, what? Could you not stay awake with me and watch for 1 hour? I asked you for 1 hour. Guys, God asked for a small time, bit of time from you. He gives you 24 hours a day. 168 hours in a week. Can you not give Him something? Can you not give Him something? We talk about the tithe being a tenth. What if we tithe our time? In other words, we gave to Him a tenth of our day. Do you know how life-changing that would be if we just gave him a tenth of our day? Every day we gave him a tenth of it. Seeking his face. Staying alert while we're seeking his face. Life-changing. Life-changing. If we just gave him a tenth. So then he goes on. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Guys, what do you think is going to keep you pure and clean and honest? Prayer. Why? Because you're seeking God's face. Why? Because you are diligently asking God to strengthen you and give you what you need. Why? Because you are God conscious, aware of what God wants for your life, and therefore you will act upon that rather than acting upon your selfish desires. He says, I'm telling you, he told Peter, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Did Peter enter into temptation? Absolutely. Just within a few hours. The temptation that he entered into was huge because he denied his Lord and Savior. And when soldiers came, what happened? They dispersed. They ran. It wasn't an hour later. It was just literally within minutes. He says, come on, the enemy's coming. We need to go. They're coming. And they meet him. And when they meet the soldiers, the Roman soldiers that had came to Gethsemane, it said that the disciples ran. And not only did they run, but listen to this. When the soldiers grabbed hold of their garments to grab, because, you know, I mean, they were fleeing. And, you know, the first thing you can do, especially if you got a guy like me, you can't grab my hair, so what's the next thing you can do? Try and get my collar. And the Bible says that they grabbed, those Roman soldiers grabbed their clothes to get a hold of them. And they stripped out of their clothes naked and ran to get away. Spent no time in prayer. Spent no time watching. They were set up for failure and they set themselves up. Because Jesus told them what to do. He says, listen, the Spirit's willing. Guys, so many of us in here, we say we love Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. And man, our spirit is willing. Lord, I love you. Man, we hear a song that God uses just to grab our heart and crush us. And we go, oh man, why? Because the spirit is willing. The spirit moves you to love God. But the flesh is weak. And unfortunately, we feed the flesh more than we feed the spirit. And so the flesh literally is stronger than the spirit because we cave into it. Instead of into the Spirit of God. And then wonder why we're defeated. He says, pray. Pray. I'm telling you, you better pray. Lest you enter into temptation. And then Paul also means, this staying alert, that we are to be watchful for things to pray for. What are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Are you so consumed with yourself that's all you can pray for is yourself? Are you so consumed with you that you can't get past you for somebody else? When's the last time that you lifted people up in prayer? You say, man, I'm struggling. It's because the only thing you're doing is thinking about you. Oh, I can't get through this. I can't. Well, listen, why don't you stop thinking about you and your struggles and look at somebody else and their struggles and then pray for them through it. Wow, that would be life-changing. And I don't mean to be sarcastic, guys. I'm just telling you, until you think of somebody else, you'll never get past yourself. And if you can't get past yourself, you'll never see God. You want to get close to God? Then get away from yourself. I would tell people all the time, they say, Pastor, I don't understand. I said, I know why you're not hearing from God. You're so full of yourself, there's no room for Him. Pray for somebody else diligently. Lift them up. I've challenged people to do this, and I'm telling you, they've taken me up on the challenge and has absolutely altered their life. It's changed them. Because you'll realize that what you have isn't so bad. Paul wants us to be alert so that And that includes looking for who else we can pray for. Oh, and by the way, don't pray vague prayers. Oh God, you know what I need. Thank you. God says, yeah, I know what you need, but apparently you don't know what you need. You can't ask for it. You can't receive it. Got it? Don't pray vaguely. Lord, you know, somebody so-and-so, they got cancer. Well, Lord, I tell you what, you know what's best for them, so you just go ahead and take care of it. Amen. How about specifics? Lord, comfort them. Lord, show yourself in such a way using me. Lord, empower me to be a part of their life that absolutely changes their way of thinking. Lord, use me to be an encouragement to that person. Lord, bring something into their life today that's going to make them smile. And Lord, if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, whatever it takes, whether it's me or somebody else, but Lord, bring somebody into their life so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. They can hear that Jesus loves them. They can hear Jesus died on the cross for them. They can hear that Jesus wants to save them and wants them in heaven with Him. Lord, use me or somebody to touch that person's life. That's specific, guys. That is specifics. And so often, we're so vague. I don't know that God hears those vague prayers. He says, well, God knows everything. Yeah, but you know what? He expects you to vocalize it. He expects you to step up and step out. He expects you to take a step. He says, listen, I took the first step. I sent my son to die for you. Now, you want blessings? You got to do this. And when you do this, I'll touch you. And when you do this, I'll give to you. And when, and if, and when, and if, and when, and if. In every situation other than salvation, it is up to us to receive the blessings. It is up to our character and our actions, our integrity, our prayer. It is everything about us. It is up to us to receive from God. God is not just going to go, oh, my son, here is everything on a platter for you. I'm going to spoil you rotten so that while you're here on earth, you'll have no understanding and no appreciation. And so, go, my son. Enjoy. God says, I love you so much, I wouldn't do that to you. I love you so much that I won't spare the rod. I love you so much that, you know what? When you do what I ask, I'm going to give to you what you ask. As long as it lines up with my word. But if you're living right, you're going to line up with me. See, guys, there's the key. You go, well, how do I know what to pray for? How do I know I'm in God's will? You spend enough time with God, that question will go away. Stay alert. Don't pray vague prayers. Ask for specifics. We will never persistently pray for something we are not concerned about. We will never persistently pray for something we are not concerned about. If you're not praying, you're not concerned about it. Oh, Lord, you know what? I need this and I need... And that's all you do. Are you persistent with it? Lord, heal my mom. Lord, my mom's sick and she's struggling. Lord, heal my mom. Thank you. Amen. And you never pray for her again until you see her, look her eye to eye and see her struggle again. And then you can't take the pain and whatever overwhelms you. And then all of a sudden, emotions flood you to pray again. That's not what I'm talking about. Man, if you are concerned about something, you will persistently pray for it. Then number three. Oh, I can do this. I can do this. Number three, have a thankful heart. Have a thankful heart. Pray with thanksgiving, it says. Pray with thanksgiving. This is the fifth time in this epistle of Colossians that Paul has mentioned gratitude. The first time is in 1:12. He talks about salvation. Have gratitude for salvation. In chapter 2, verse 6, he talks about growth, that we're to have gratitude in that. 3:15 is fellowship with Christ and the church. In 3:17, we are to have gratitude for an opportunity to serve. And so here, he's talking about the promise God will answer prayer, and we need to have a thankful heart for that. And so there's five things we can be thankful for. Number one, God's presence. God's presence. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. Psalm 75, 1. So when I say presence, I mean presence, not present. His gift is His being here with us. Number two, God's provision. We're to be thankful for God's provision. Acts 27:35, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. It was Paul. And when they were shipwrecked, man, his life was going downhill fast, and he still thanked God for his provisions. And we are to do the same. Number three, God's pardon. Romans 6:17 through 19, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin. Guys, having been set free from sin. That doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore. What it means is we have been set free from the penalty of sin. We no longer have to pay that price. When we die, we go to heaven. Praise God for that. Man, I'm going to tell you what. That, if you, man, what a... Oh. Because, guys, I wouldn't want to have to pay for the sins that I've done. Even the best person in the world hasn't been that good. And so, God's pardon, we are to be thankful for salvation. Number four, God's promise. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory, guys. We win. But we can have all these blessings in between until the victory is ours if we just seek God's face. Number five, we're to be thankful for God's purpose. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Every one of us are called to God's purpose. And if you love God, everything is going to work together for good. If you don't be shocked when your world becomes absolutely turmoil. Guys, those three things, if you practice them and you spend time in prayer, I promise you, your life will turn around, your life will change, and the struggles that you struggle with today will be gone. And if they're not completely gone, then at least you have the peace of God which passes all understanding to get through them. You'll see them in a different light. You'll react differently. You won't react with anger. Maybe you'll react with compassion because you'll have a better understanding of the way God sees the situation instead of just reacting in the flesh the way we see it. Guys, if you want strength and you want power and you want to walk a successful life in Christ, you need to pray. If you're not praying, don't be shocked that you have struggles. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to take long. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, God does not hear your prayers. He hears one prayer before He hears anything else, and that's the prayer of asking Him to be your Savior. And at that point, God opens up the windows and He hears you because you're no longer an enemy of His, you're a child of His. And so if you're here today, the first thing that you have to settle in your heart is if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you do not, and you wish to, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. And by the way, the words don't save you. It is your heart attitude that saves you. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. I know I've missed the mark. Lord, I know that if I died right now and Jesus is not my Savior, I won't go to heaven. But today, today, Lord, I surrender myself. Today, Lord, I surrender all to You. Today, Lord, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save my soul, that heaven would be home. And today, Lord, I ask You to guide me and show me Your ways.